Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. We're taking you through a Friday afternoon and into your Friday evening. And when we wrap up tonight, we send you out to Progressive Field for Indians baseball, game two in their four-game series against the New York Yankees right before the All-Star break. Indians warm-up begins at 6:37, first pitch at 7:10. And joining us now to talk Tribe as he does every week, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians. And our weekly Talks with Rosie are brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Rosie, it's always a pleasure to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bull. How are you?
So far, so good. The sun's out, so I guess I can't really complain. It's going to be a hot one this weekend, and it's going to be a pretty interesting weekend between the Indians and Yankees, expecting some very, very large crowds. Before we get a little bit deeper into the series, Rosie, I want to take some time to discuss the greatness of Jose Ramirez in the season he is having. It is just incredible when you look at Jose Ramirez now to see the numbers that he is producing compared to what he was just a few years ago when he was the everyday shortstop for the Tribe. This truly is a special season for Jose Ramirez, and I mean, the numbers he's putting up are just mind-boggling.
They really are, and I think the one that jumped out last night when he hit his 28th home run, I mean, that's the most ever for a Cleveland Indians prior to the All-Star break. And I mean, you're looking at hitters like Jim Thome and Albert Bell, who were tremendous home run hitters. And you don't think of Jose Ramirez as a home run hitter, but I guess maybe now we have to, because he's putting up just incredible numbers, and it'll be interesting to see by season's end where he ends up, because he's starting to approach some all-time numbers here for the franchise. So it really is remarkable. And what's nice to see, too, Bull, is he's not sacrificing his batting average, so as a result, he's getting other extra base hits, too. And he's stolen 19 bases. I mean, that's the one that gets overlooked. And I know the stolen base isn't necessarily valued as much as maybe it used to be, but still, he's your team leader not only in home runs but stolen bases, which is quite a combination of power and speed. And it's just been a marvelous season for him.
No question about that. And speaking of overlooked aspects, how about the fact that the club has done such a wonderful job of not only locking him up, but other guys like him up who have been a big part of the nucleus of this team. And by baseball standards, Rosie, they've locked these guys up with incredible deals. I mean, I'm not really sure that the franchise gets enough credit for locking up a guy like Jose Ramirez at the price in which they've locked him up.
Well, they signed him to the extension, not last spring, but the prior spring. And he hadn't really, you know, he'd had a good season the year before, and I think they extended him based on that and would have been extremely happy if he could be consistent and put up those numbers. But he's gone above and beyond that, and now it's probably one of the better bargains in baseball, and be interesting to see, you know, if there's any fallout from that at some point. But it's just a tremendous bargain, and I know he was thankful at the time to get the long-term contract extension. I think he still is. I mean, you know, he's still a young player and all that kind of stuff, but it truly is, you know, some foresight there. Now, these don't always work, but in a lot of cases they have, and in this case, it's been the extreme where it's, I think, a team-friendly contract. But again, you know, I'm always taken aback a little bit when you hear some chirping from players, and by no means has this been from Jose Ramirez, but they'll say, well, he's undervalued. Well, at the time when he had to make his decision, he had a chance for some tremendous security at a time in his career when he had the one really solid season, but nothing approaching what he has now. So at the time he signed it, it was a very good deal for Jose, and I think he still views it that way, and he very much is thankful to be under that contract.
And Rosie, he's one of a few guys who are under team-friendly contracts, or at least widely regarded in the baseball world to be team-friendly contracts. But, you know, we all know the Indians don't necessarily have the ammunition that the Yankees and Red Sox and the Dodgers and the Cubs do to go out there and throw all kinds of money at these guys. You feel like the franchise doesn't always get the credit that it deserves when they lock up guys like this to team-friendly deals?
Maybe a while back, but I think they've done it enough now where people do understand. But yeah, I think there was a stretch there where, you know, there was some heavy criticism for how much the payroll was and that type of thing. But I mean, for where the Indians are market size and income stream wise compared to some others, you know, you could look at it in terms of your ratios to spending and revenues coming in. They do it more so than the Yankees and the Dodgers, and you know, have these just unbelievable revenue streams. So, you know, the Dolan family has put themselves out there, along with the Sherman family, who has joined that ownership group. You know, they put themselves out there a little bit to try and make this thing happen and have that window last as long as it possibly can, and maybe keep it going a lot longer than people think.
Again, we're talking Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus of the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Our weekly talks with Rosie, brought to you by Erie Burger Company. Rosie, we mentioned we get back around to the atmosphere for this weekend. Every time the Yankees come to town, you know it's an entertaining show. You know that the ballpark is going to be loaded to the gills. Boy, this weekend, nearing sellouts with the final three games remaining, it should be something that should be a lot of fun to be a part of.
I think so. You know, it always is, and impressive last night in that it seemed like there were fewer Yankee fans than we've seen here in the past, which is encouraging because obviously you know, the 2016 World Series with all the Cubs fans there, and in the past there's always been a lot of Yankee fans there, and maybe on the weekend there will be more. But I thought last night very much I think less than what we're accustomed to, which is nice to see that. You know, Tribe fans are gobbling up the seats and coming to the game and having a good time and supporting their team. So, but it does create a fun atmosphere. And, you know, the Yankees are, once again, that juggernaut team that hits a ton of home runs and they have a tremendous back of the bullpen. And this is a real nice test for the Indians just to kind of see where they measure up here just past the halfway point in the season.
Along those same lines, Tito made a comment yesterday to Hammy during the Indians warm-up, mentioning that, you know, sometimes, you know, guys are just kind of creatures of habit, but when they do see an extended break, the All-Star break coming up, you know, sometimes they have a tendency to look ahead. But one of the things Tito mentioned was that this series comes at a great time because you can't look ahead to the break with a series like this because the Yankees are a team that just won't let you do that. And just kind of wanted to see, just get your thoughts on that comment as well, because I thought that was fascinating how I mentioned this particular series. It's the last time the Indians will see the Yankees this year unless they meet up again in the playoffs. But just fascinating to hear Tito say, look, you know, again, the reality of it is sometimes guys do get caught looking ahead, but with a team like this, you just can't.
Now, if they don't get your attention, not many teams will, because, you know, as a pitcher, there's no break in the lineup. And in some spots, it's, you know, where do you pitch some of these guys without being in their hot zone for power? And then on the other side, I think we saw it last night, if you don't grab a lead early, and the Indians did some really nice work against Luis Severino to get an early lead, but if you find yourself trailing in the late innings, it is a hard bullpen to put up numbers on, and I think we saw that last night. So, yeah, you have to be at your best, or you might not only lose, you might get embarrassed. So, you know, and I think the Indians, regardless of who it would be, have been pretty good about taking care of things day to day and making sure they're prepared to play. But if you look for external factors, playing the Yankees is a pretty good one.
You mentioned the Indians have done a nice job of taking care of things day to day. And that could be something I think that fans may just casually overlook, because as a fan, a lot of times we are prisoners of the moment. You end up overreacting to a loss and then you forget about it the next day when the team puts up 19 runs. And throughout the course of this homestand, the Indians have endured a couple of tough losses. You know, of course, the loss against the Reds in the second game of the series going back to Tuesday. And then I think last night's game to a certain degree as well. But you know what's fascinating is it just doesn't seem like this team lets one of those losses linger, because anytime you get a gut-wrenching loss like that, it really kind of feels like, Rosie, the next day they come out and they just put it behind them.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think that may be the nature of baseball, because you don't have a week to dissect that loss and go over and over and over. Now, you know, the loss Tuesday night, There was a lot of talk about what happened, what should have happened, what didn't happen, blah, blah, blah. And all legitimate, all legit. But by the next day, you can't keep talking about that because you have to worry about that night. I mean, you're right back at it. You got to worry about who you're facing on the mound for the other team. And then, you know, that other lineup for your pitching staff. There's just no time to dwell on, unfortunately, sometimes the good, because you might have a real dramatic win and you want to feel good about that, but you just, there's no time. And I think in the case of Tuesday night, that was a good thing, to get right back out there and play. And I know Terry Francona addressed the team, which was important, but the key being you can't dwell on it because there's another game coming. And if you're still thinking about something bad that happened the night before, that could hamper how you go about it the next night, and you know, you're trying to win a ball game that night.
Rosie, I have to ask this next question because it's certainly drawing a little bit of fire right now. People are asking if there are any changes in the rotation coming up, simply because, I mean, this is the most minuscule of reasons, but, you know, Trevor Bauer, as of right now, is still scheduled to start on Sunday, and there are some folks thinking that maybe he might get moved up a night only because he has made no bones about wanting to pitch in the All-Star game on Tuesday. And I guess, you know, the thing here is that if there were ever a guy that could make a start on the Sunday and then come back again 2 days later to pitch in the All-Star game, Bauer would be that guy, no?
Yeah, and they're not going to change the rotation so Trevor Bauer can pitch in the All-Star game. And Trevor wouldn't want them to do that. That, you know, that teams are trying to win ball games in the regular season. The All-Star game is a wonderful event and a tremendous individual honor. And they'll figure that out depending on how long Trevor pitches on Sunday and how he's feeling on Tuesday night down in D.C. They'll figure that out when they get to it. But to change the rotation would not happen because then you're impacting four other pitchers. So he'll pitch on Sunday. And, you know, he has said that he generally bounces back really well. And if he does, then he'll hopefully get into the ball game on Tuesday. But they'll address that, I think, after Sunday. They're not going to do that in advance, and it's certainly not going to impact how they use him on Sunday. They're trying to win a ball game. Every game's important in the regular season, and as a result, that they'll play that according to how they usually do, and then figure out, you know, Bauer's role in the All-Star game after that.
Well, right now, folks are trying to figure out what kind of role Andrew Miller is going to play when he gets back into that Indians bullpen. You know, as far as we understand it, Rosie, he threw off the Progressive Field mound earlier this week, and he is supposed to face minor leaguers in a simulated situation this weekend. Any update on Andrew Miller? And, you know, when he comes back, how many of the issues do you think he can fix just by being back in that bullpen?
Well, I think they need more than Andrew Miller, to be honest with you. I think it'll help if he indeed is the Andrew Miller that we've seen in the past, and that might take a little bit, even when he does come back, even if he's fully healthy, which I don't think they'll let him come back till that's the case, and he's getting there. It's really starting to speed up nicely now for him. It's a great sign what he's doing tomorrow, facing live hitters, and you know, maybe he goes out on a rehab assignment this coming week, but yeah, they need more. I think that's borne out here. One arm is not, I don't think, is going to solve the bullpen problems. I mean, we're past the halfway point, and they have the highest bullpen ERA in the major leagues. That's not fixed with just one pitcher. So I'm not exactly sure who they're looking at, but you can bet that Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff are zeroing in on some arms that can help. Maybe it's just one arm and you combo that with Miller and that helps, but maybe it's more than just one arm because, again, they've earned an ERA as a pen over five. And for them to, you know, they know that that's going to be a struggle to get where they want to go in the postseason. And really now they're up by 7.5 on the Twins. That's been dwindling. You got to get to the postseason. Everyone thinks it's just a done deal. It's not. There is still a ton of baseball left, a lot of games with the Twins, who are now playing a little bit better, and it's a team that is certainly capable of going on a roll. So the Indians still have work to do in the regular season. The bullpen will be key, and they need more than just Andrew Miller.
two other questions here for you, Rosie, to kind of dive off of that. I mean, Andrew Miller, first and foremost, is it realistic to say that at the very, very earliest, it, just assuming everything goes well, if he everything goes okay with the simulated situation this weekend, if he goes on a rehab assignment next week, that at the absolute earliest that the Indians might see him again would be the first homestand after the All-Star break?
Yeah, I would say that's the earliest. I still think it's going to be August 1st. I don't know why, but I'm throwing that out there. But maybe it is. Maybe it is that first homestand when they get back. They go to Texas after the break. I don't know. That seems quick, but maybe not. I think somewhere between, you know, that maybe that first homestand and August 1st, maybe he can get back. But I'm hesitant, Andy, because you got to wait till you see how he comes through facing live hitters, and then if he goes out on a rehab, well, when he goes out on a rehab assignment, how that goes. I think it to speculate before that would be tough to do.
Fair enough, and then Rosie, we'll cut you loose on this. I know we had a similar conversation when the Indians faced the Brewers about a month or two ago because they had some really nice arms in that bullpen. You told me at the time, I think your exact words were, "Bull, they're not getting rid of anybody in that bullpen. They're going to be there until the very end," and you're 100% right. They look good right now. We can't say the same thing about the Cincinnati Reds, although they've got some very nice arms in that bullpen. Is there a name or two in that pen that really kind of stood out to you and that you kind of looked at and thought, boy, these guys would look pretty nice in a Tribe uniform?
Well, for the Reds, certainly their closer, Raisel Iglesias, would be the one. I don't know if they could pry him loose from Cincinnati. The Reds really like what's been happening here the last several weeks, and I'm not sure what their thinking is if they want to, you know, they won some ball games and you need a closer to do that. Do they want to move that closer and then have to search for another one? So that would be the name down there, Raisel Iglesias, their closer for sure.
Good stuff, Rosie. Well, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us as always. Have a wonderful weekend out of Progressive Field and enjoy the All-Star break next week.
You got it, Bull. Thanks.
Thank you again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Our weekly talks with Rosie are brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Stop by, get a burger made with local grass-fed beef. You can choose from a number of different sandwiches. It's an all-star lineup. They've got fresh-cut fries, sweet potato fries, and more. Let's get to a break. Steve Bailey and I will return with more after this on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.